But there is the full-time whistle.
There goes the hooter.
And it's full time.
And that's a whistle of joy.
Supporters invading the pitch.
We won it! We won it! We won it!
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. All Olympic and Paralympic athletes will get a COVID jab before the flame is lit in Tokyo this summer. That's a welcome shot in the arm for our latest Sligo Olympian. Christopher O'Donnell is on the programme. Now, Donegal may not be enjoying some of the commentary around its COVID numbers at the moment, but the head of Donegal GAA says it's a timely wake-up call, and the county board is helping the HSE this week transform its GAA Centre of Excellence into a pop-up testing centre. And Dinkies away, Brian Dorion slops the showgrounds for a new FAI high-performance role in his native Donegal. He'll be talking out again for St. Catharines before you know it. Welcome to the programme. Also coming up, our Ardra and Donegal Gaelic footballer Paddy McGrath takes on our Ardra Paddy on this week's Donegal GAA podcast. We'll try and get a sense of the mood music in the Donegal camp with the start of the National Football League now just 9 days away. Here's how you can get in touch on the programme. 083 3500 530 by text or by WhatsApp. If you prefer, email the address sport@oceanfm.ie, and you can find us on Twitter at @OceanFMSport. So North Sligo Athletic Club's Chris O'Donnell coming up shortly after his life-changing week. But first to Donegal, where two of the county's GAA venues are being converted at the moment into pop-up COVID-19 testing centres. They are the county's brand new GAA Centre of Excellence in Convoy. The test centre there will be in operation from this weekend. And Carndonagh GAA Club will also have a pop-up test centre for 3 days next week. And these are the latest measures in a renewed effort to tackle Donegal's high COVID-19 numbers. The Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Tony Holohan, warned last weekend things would need to turn around quickly in Donegal. His comments at the time prompted some anger amongst people in the county. Tonight, the Department of Health reported 26 new cases in Donegal in the last 24 hours. That number is down on the previous day, and so is the county's 14-day incidence rate. And the chairperson of Donegal GAA, Mick McGrath, says the 40 GAA clubs in the county are working hard to help ensure that decrease continues so that Gaelic games can return as planned. Here's his take, first of all, on the comments of the Chief Medical Officer last weekend.
My own personal views on it is one thing that the majority of people that I've been talking to have taken it as a wake-up call rather than as an insult. I think that the remarks, that better language could have been used, but I wouldn't find fault with the language that was used as such, because everybody in Donegal are talking about different things that's going on against regulations. And there is house parties going on. There certainly is gatherings going on against regulations. And that's happening throughout the whole country, not just in County Donegal. And it just happens to be that there's a few outbreaks in the Letterkenny and the Milford area that has escalated into a lot of numbers that is prohibiting our numbers to get reduced. Austin, and we seem to be in and around the 25 to 30 new cases every day, which unfortunately, when you do your mathematics, is 200 cases a week, and we just can't get down below that. And so there was a plea last week from within the people that are managing the COVID situation, and as I said, the choice of language might have been used better, but it was a wake up call for us all. And as the leading sporting organisation in the county, we were asked last year to get involved, and all the clubs throughout the county and indeed the country did get involved, and majority of them got involved even without being asked. They got involved in the local communities, which is why the GAA is so strong in all of this, because we're the one sporting organisation, as everybody is aware, that is in the community. We're in every community throughout the whole country, and we're in every corner. So we have a network of communicators right around the whole country and right around our county, and we use them very, very well when we need to. And they're fantastic to work with, because there's nobody chips in negativity. It's all positive in getting rid of the main negativity in the county and in the country at the moment, which is the COVID. And we are working towards it. And I'm very confident that we will win this battle this summer. I'm confident of that, Austin.
Donegal, like every other county, is working on the return to play as training resumes at various grades and matches can now take place at senior level already since last night in terms of challenge games. But have you any worry at all, Mick, that if the numbers don't improve, that Donegal might be held back when it comes to getting full scale back to Gaelic games in the county in comparison with other parts of Ireland?
I think that we've got to keep shutting the regulations, wash your hands, wear your mask, 2 meter distance. They're the simple things that have been going since this started in March of 2020. And we've got accustomed to it now. We're trying to get back into society and getting things opened up. And I think the people are more negative against the people that are sending down the policing ways of doing things. But I think we have to be positive towards these people. Those people are there to help us get rid of this. And we have to work with them. We have got to reiterate to everywhere we go and show the message clearly that you wash your hands, you stay apart, we don't use the showers within our dressing rooms. We don't let people indoors. We keep 99% of our activity outdoors, and it's a lesser chance of a spread being outdoors. So we work with all those things that we're guided on. They're all sensible enough and difficult and frustrating as they might be to some people. We've got to work with the regulators on this and attempt to alleviate it from our society, because it's stopping quite a lot of people getting out and about. It's stopping the whole economy of the country being what it was and what we need to return to. And as chairman of the Donegal GAA board, I'm quite in contact with my own committee who are spread right throughout the county and with the 40 clubs of Donegal. And we're fighting hard to get this numbers game in Donegal down, and we will get it down. And I know there's an air of enthusiasm this week to do that. And we've gone into negotiations with the HSE in the last couple of days, even for pop-up centres, which are going to occur within GAA grounds, and it'll be announced sometime today by the Minister. And we're working hard with them, and we're quite willing to move things to accommodate the HSE and work with them. And I applaud them all, what they're doing.
And you are working with the HSE this week, Mick. One of your flagship GAA facilities you're making available this weekend to the health authorities. What can you tell us about that?
Well, the HSE are looking for drive-in, pop-up centres, and they've asked us, can they use the Donegal GAA Centre, our new centre in Convoy. And we've agreed to move out all our pre-arranged activities from the centre for Saturday, Sunday and Monday. And they will use that as a pop-up centre, test centre. We've agreed with that yesterday. A lot of to and fro and conversations and meetings had to take place to make that happen. But we certainly made it happen. And they will move in on Saturday morning, and they will have a pop-up centre there from 11 o'clock in the morning to 7 p.m. in the evening. That will occur on Saturday, Sunday and Monday. And we will then be moving that pop-up centre into Inishowen, into Carndonagh, for Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday into the GAA club up there. So quite a lot of work occurred yesterday, and I thank everybody that was involved in all the mediation that had to take place in and around that. And I'm assured that the Minister will recognise that in announcing it. And it shows that Donegal, in conjunction with the GAA and the HSE, the people of Donegal are going to fight this and get the numbers down.
Your hurlers play Roscommon, Mick, this Sunday in their opening National League game at O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. The footballers are out the following Saturday evening against Tyrone. I think the hurling game will be the first senior inter-county competitive fixture since the Ulster football final last November. Your CCC, I think, are meeting this evening or due to meet this evening to try and finalise a roadmap in terms of the club activity. So you have to proceed as planned that this is going to go to plan, don't you?
Well, yes, it was an absolutely breath of fresh air to everybody to see the children back out in pods, a couple of weeks ago, and they're out there and using the facilities right around the county and the country, and the adults are going out next week to prepare, and the CCC committees will now work out a program of fixtures that will fit in with the dates that they've been instructed to use. And we welcome all that, and we will work, towards getting everybody back out in the field, and we welcome the hurlers going out on on Sunday against Roscommon and our footballers following Saturday evening against Tyrone. So that's all positive towards what we're trying to achieve. And I don't think it's a hurdle that we can't get over. You know, there's a huge amount of work going on that we have to applaud with the vaccines that increased to over 200,000 per week in the country. And I mean, if we're doing a quarter of a million vaccines per week, which is what we're being told is occurring, then that's a million a month. And I mean, within 2 months, we'll have 2 million vaccines out. And you know, we're on the verge of improving the numbers in throughout the country, and especially in our own county, which hasn't been to the levels that anybody would want. So I think everybody pulling the oars together, we'll go in a straight line through this. And let's do that. And I plead to everybody, let's just make that little effort to make it more serious. As I said, the simple things that we've been instructed to do since last March, the washing the hands, wearing the mask, and staying 2 metres apart, get people out of their houses, in their gardens, as the weather, you know, improves, go out for walks, but just go through the instructions. We've got to keep our health going, right, Austin? There's a lot of concern out there of people that haven't been out of their houses regularly in 12 months, and let the younger people encourage the elderly people to, you know, to get out and even bring them out within their own family pods. And you know, we can work together on this.
That's the chairperson of Donegal GAA, Mick McGrath. 083 3500 530 is the text and WhatsApp number. And if you are texting, you will be charged at your standard mobile phone rate. Well, Sligo's Olympic-bound athletes Mona McSharry and Chris O'Donnell are going to be offered a COVID-19 vaccine before the Tokyo Games this summer. The International Olympic and Paralympic Committees today reached agreement with Pfizer-BioNTech for all athletes to get the jab before the summer games. Now, these vaccines are going to be additional to any existing delivery agreements, for example, between Pfizer and the Irish government. Speaking to Ocean FM Sport this afternoon from his university base in Loughborough, North Sligo Athletic Club's Chris O'Donnell, who qualified for the Olympics, you'll know, with the Ireland 4x400 mixed relay team a few days ago, said the vaccine was a timely shot in the arm for the athletes.
It provides a lot of security, because I suppose your worst nightmare is kind of going out there, going to Japan, and as you'll be tested very regularly out there, you know, worst comes to, obviously, touch wood, but you know, you could end up testing positive out there and end up missing your race. So for us to have the vaccine, yeah, it means everything. And it just allows us now to focus on the race. And we know that once we get there, it's going to be okay. And obviously, there's going to be so many countries there from, you know, there's different countries are handling the virus better than others, but they're all going to still be there in the same place. So the security, it's going to help a lot, and like it'll ease the mind as well as much as anything else.
Because there would be nothing worse having just qualified for the Olympics if they had to be postponed or called off the very summer that you're on the plane.
Yeah, like you're just saying, you know, it's a dream come true, and then, you know, it could end up being a nightmare. But no, thankfully now it seems to be all good. So it's all systems go.
How much has life changed for you in the past few days?
Well, yeah, if the response has been phenomenal, to be fair. It's probably, like, I always get a huge response. Everyone knows the community we have ingrained in Sligo, and that's been unbelievable. So every time I race or get a good result, I'm used to the kind of great response. But I have to say, this has been something else, to be honest. And yeah, I was listening to your piece the other day with all the members of the community, and, you know, the words that they had to say really summed it up. And you know, the response has been phenomenal. I'm trying to respond to every message, and, you know, I appreciate everything. And in terms of how my life changed, you know, I can't really let it change, because I still have a job to do now in the next 2 months to get myself in the best shape as possible. So it's kind of, you know, put it to one side for now and get back to training, because that's what's most important. I need to improve as an athlete now in the next 2 months so I can go to Japan in the best shape possible.
Is it good to have that community backing, though, just on a personal level, to know that, you know, well-wish factor is here in North Sligo for you?
Yeah, it means everything, and especially as I'm away training in England at the moment, and you know, a lot of the guys here really, really take to it, and they kind of adopt it now, you know, Sligo as their like local community as well. They see the response that I get, and that wouldn't be as common over here in England. And yeah, when I'm away, the messages I get from home, and then whenever I go home as well, you know, I love to go back and see everyone. And yeah, like I always say, there's no community like it in Grange, Sligo, and they've shown it again this weekend.
We're in a pandemic, so the usual celebration routines aren't possible right now. You had to fly from Silesia straight back to your university in Loughborough on your own.
Yeah, it was tough leaving the team. You do kind of get attached when you're out there. You become so close to the team out there, and then you have to leave them. You know, maybe in another circumstances, I would have been able to fly home to Ireland and do a couple of media duties there, but it's all online now. But look, we still have a job to do now over the next 2 months, so I still need to stay focused.
Have you exams to do in the meantime?
I know it would be very light, and the university are great as well with the likes of me, and but the sport comes first over here. So it's all systems go now for training.
So can you broadly map out what your life is going to be like for the next 2 to 3 months as you fine tune for Tokyo? And it's lovely to be able to say that, but for May, June and the early part of July, what's your life going to be like?
Yeah, so the relay job is done now. We've qualified the team, so we'll all go back now into our own individual bubbles and try and become the fastest athletes as possible in 2 months' time. So we're ready to go to Japan and run much faster as a team. So if the four of us can get a lot faster over the next 2 months, which I suspect we will, that's the plan. We're going back into hard training, and we can come out the other side into Japan fresh legs after a hard training block and be a better athlete then. So the plan now, yeah, is to get some individual races over 400 metres, 200 metres maybe as well. A couple of those will be abroad, and it's just to try and get myself as fast as possible, improve my times and show my form, fitness to get on the team.
Will you get a chance to train together?
No, probably not before the games. The you talk about the preparation there, so there'll be a lot of documents coming through about how we best can prepare over the next 2 months with regards to looking at going to training in Japan with the altitude and the humidity there. So we're going to have to practice a lot of that stuff ourselves, and the Irish Olympic Association will provide us with a lot of help on that. But in terms of training together, even before Poland, we didn't get a great deal, because it's we work as individuals first and foremost, and then we get together as a team. That said, I was in Spain on a training camp. Me and Phil Healy and Sophie Becker got some good batting practices, and it worked out well. You know, I was passing to Phil in Spain as I was in Poland, and then back home, Charlene and Tom also train in Limerick, so they were able to do a few batting practices. And then when we got to Poland, we still had 2 or 3 days beforehand before the race to finalise any changes. And yeah, we'll still have a few weeks before the Olympics. We'll go to a holding camp somewhere in Japan, and we'll get plenty of practice then. So yeah, we've plenty of time for that.
And the four of you seem to get on with each other, or maybe I should say six, because there is Andrew Mellon. There are two backup runners too, who can be part of this as required as well.
Yeah, I think everyone did see the team spirit, and absolutely it was a team of six. You know, it would have been tough for Andrew and Sophie to have been left out, but they took the news really well and they supported us. And obviously it's in their best interest as well that the team qualified. But the coverage as well, they really seen the team spirit. Everyone knows the cameras really stayed on us for about 3-4 minutes after the race on Saturday night. They just seen the story that was unfolding. And you know, we went over straight away to the coaches, and the substitutes were there on the side. We got into a big huddle, and you know, we were just so proud of each other. And I think, yeah, the World Athletics seen that as the cameras just stayed on for us for what felt like ages. We were waiting on the results, but you've seen the reactions then, and they've probably seen this as a really good story.
And this isn't something that you just thought about a few weeks ago, I might try and qualify for the Olympics. This has been a long-standing ambition of yours, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously, it's something that you just dream of when you first start running. You never really think it could actually happen. And then when it does, you suppose you pinch yourself a little bit. But in terms of the mixed relay, we were going to try and qualify last year to the Olympics, and obviously that got postponed. So last year was a huge disappointment for everyone, really. We basically lost a year of our career, so it probably meant even more that we were able to make up for it this year.
And I'm just thinking, when you were running in the Grange Cliffney boys under 12 race in community games, and maybe Mona McSharry was running the girls under 10 race the same year, what were the chances that we'd have two sports athletes from the same village heading on the same Team Ireland to the same Olympics?
Yeah, it's something else, isn't it? And it's amazing. I'm delighted for Mona, and sure, she's delighted for me. And we see each other doing well, and probably pushes each other on as well. And hopefully now, yeah, when, you know, the next community games turns around, we get good numbers and they see, look, this is where we started, so they can see that it is possible for someone from Grange to compete at the highest level for Ireland.
It's a lovely place to be, though, isn't it?
Ah, yeah. Look, we're very privileged that we're able to still go and travel during the pandemic, and it's a tough time for many people at home. So to put some smiles on faces at home is just what we plan to do, and hopefully a few more can happen this summer.
Solid head on young shoulders. That is Christopher O'Donnell of North Sligo Athletic Club and Ireland, speaking from Loughborough University, where he's studying earlier today.
Ocean FM's final whistle, thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town, suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
Okay, 083 3500 530 is the text and WhatsApp number to get in touch. sport@oceanfm.ie is the email address. We'll have live commentary this Friday night from Oriel Park for you. Sligo Rovers head to Dundalk. Full match commentary from 7:45, compliments of Davy Motors in Sligo on oceanfm.ie. And the second half is also live on FM from about 9:00 on the Rovers Hour. Sligo Rovers under 19 head coach Brian Dinky Dorian is leaving the showgrounds to begin a new role as the FAI's new high performance coach in his native county of Donegal. The Killybegs man led Rovers under 19s to a National League Shield title last season, and he was temporarily in charge of the senior first team as well prior to Liam Buckley's appointment in 2018. So was the call of home a factor in his decision to take on this new FAI Donegal role?
I wouldn't say the call of home was a major factor in it. It was more that it was going to be working on the elite pathway and working with elite players. Obviously, it's based in the Northwest, so it takes in Donegal on its own as well, which helps. Regarding going back to home, it's like home will be home. But I suppose Sligo's been in my second home for the last 5-6 years, and a couple of years then before it when I was there before as well. So again, it's just maybe for me, it was a good opportunity. I spoke with Liam and I spoke with my family and spoke with a couple of colleagues not there regarding the job, and it was like a very good position not to take on. So yeah, the lure of home's there, but you know, it wasn't a major factor in it.
So, high performance director for Donegal, what does this role entail exactly?
Well, basically what it is, it's not really the high performance director. The high performance director is a doctor, but there were 11 appointed in the last couple of months. There's been 11 appointed for around the country. And it's the high performance regional coach, it's called. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be working within regions. There's obviously two in Dublin, one in the Midlands, one in the North East, one in Cork, one in Kerry, Dixon, Kerry, and Limerick. And then you have Clare, you have Galway, you have Mayo and Sligo go together, Galway and Roscommon go together. So that's, you know, that's where they did it. But what it is, Austin, is you have three main areas you're working with: high-end coach education, player development and identification, and club and coach development, which are the three main areas in it. So that's what you're looking at within each region.
And much of that is what you've been doing with Sligo Rovers for several seasons now, through the academy, the under-19s in particular, but other age groups as well. I mean, I'm sure Dinky Dorian has a little black notebook somewhere with all these names of promising footballers that you're monitoring and watch develop across the Northwest region.
I have a black book, but it mightn't be for footballers. Back in the day, the black book was for other things. But in saying that, well, as long as Sonia's not listening to this now, but no, listen, over the course of years, I've been involved in football development for a long time. I have a passion for it. I always had. Sligo gave me my first opportunity in 2008. When Paul Cook was the manager, Mary McGowan and Keith O'Dwyer and Michael Tullin was then the chairman, and they gave me my first, you know, taste of elite pathway football. But over the course of time, working on that and working between Donegal as well, I've kind of gone the whole spectrum. I've started out with my own club here at Killybegs, St. Catharines, and worked underage the way up into the schoolboys, county schoolboys, all county schoolboys and all that there. And then into the Oscar Traynor team and then the Sligo, and then just I've been working on and off with the FAA as an external coach and working the emerging talent centres up here. But then obviously I was Sligo in the championship. It was back in 2008, 2009. It was under 17, under 19, or under 20 then. Then it changed it. So, but then I got the opportunity to come back in again with Gavin and Kieran Kelly in 2015 after we finished up with St. Gavin's. And obviously, you amass a lot of people that you know. And that's the one thing about sport, and not just football, but all sports, you make massive contacts. And you know, I'd be a firm believer if you treat people well and they'll come back and they treat you well, you know. And again, I've been lucky to work with some great players. And I say I'm lucky. I'm more lucky than probably they are, because I get to work with good players most days. And yeah, obviously, this last couple of years working with the first team as well has been really, really good. To answer your question, it's you do amass a lot of players and you come across people, but you make friendships. Some players, I'm a believer that people and footballers always find their level. But regardless, we've always kind of keep in contact no matter where they are and whatever region they're in, you know.
Yeah. I mean, from what I know of you, Brian, it strikes me you packed a lot into your two spells with Sligo Rovers. I mean, you were the caretaker manager of the senior side for a spell in between the departure of Gerard Little and the appointment of Liam Buckley, and you mentioned you've worked closely, apart from that, alongside the first team as well. So, do you feel you have quite a lot of tools to take on this new role with the FAI?
Yeah, listen, for me, Sligo's been unbelievable for me, personally, professionally, and I think, you know, to be fair, I've helped them too, not alone me. There's a lot of people who've taken a lot of plaudits for a lot of players, and that's not just at the club, that's their club teams, their leagues, maybe in Sligo, Leitrim, Mayo, whatever it may be, in South Donegal, wherever it may be. A lot of people have taken plaudits. Yes, you build up that there, your capacities, your professional capacities are built up over time, and I've been very lucky to work with four great managers for me in different ways. I've learned stuff off them, that being Paul Cook, who's gone on, as we know, to manage with Wigan, and now he's at
Ipswich
Town now, you know, and look at the career. I worked under Dave Robertson, who's now working in his FA chair, Dettler, who worked as the Northern Irish under 19, under 17, and Liam Buckley, as he says himself, over 40 years experience in football. You know, I've been very, very lucky, and I count myself lucky to get and learn. You always take, I always try and take wee things out of people and learn them, maybe, and taper them to myself. And again, I do believe I have enough experience to take the role on and maybe develop it and hopefully improve things. Not that I'm not saying they need improved, but maybe develop them to a higher standard going forward, you know, and that's what I'm hoping.
And will you become a de facto scout for the likes of Liam Buckley and Ollie Horgan in Donegal if they're looking for promising young players? Are you one of the first numbers they'll have on speed dial?
I don't know about that, but listen, part of my job is I'll be aligned. Part of my job is, as probably everybody knows, I have to leave Sligo because it's seen as a conflict of interest with the job I'm going into. So I'm going to be aligned with Harps Derry City because of the senior clubs in the area. I'm not really doing a whole lot with them, but I'll just be there for just, you know, for the higher end coach education, player development, and identification for international managers, boys and girls, ladies and men, teams. So that there, listen, if they ask me a question, I'll not tell them a lie. And more than that, there, as you know, as I said to Liam, and I've said to anybody, I'm always at the end of a phone if needed, but I can't really say I'm going to be a definitive scout for any of them. But if they ask me any questions, I won't tell them any lies, you know.
That's Brian Dinky Dorian, the FAI's new high performance regional coach for Donegal, and he begins his new job next Monday.
The Donegal GA podcast, this week's edition, is now online in all the usual podcast places, presented by Paddy McGill. And his guest this week is another Paddy, our Draz Paddy McGrath, as Donegal get ready for a new 2021 league and championship season. Let's play you an extract from this week's chat between the two. It's been 7 years since Donegal last contested an All-Ireland senior football semi-final. So is that preying on the Donegal minds as the new campaign begins?
I think we know our own ability. I think we know as a team what we're capable of. And, you know, we would see ourselves, you know, fit to beat anybody, like, you know. Yeah, it's been a long time since we were in an All-Ireland semi-final, is right. And I suppose that's something that we need to try and achieve now and getting back to that. Was again, a few results didn't go our ways down through the years, like, and you know, you look back and you know, we were just kind of, suppose, look at them games and see, you know, what learnings could we take out of them, you know, to get over the line. Suppose last year was a great chance to get to the All Ireland semi final. You know, as soon as you know, after the Ulster final, you were there, like, rather than a quarter final. So it was a good opportunity, hey, which didn't pan out the way we wanted it to. But we would still know our own ability, so we would. And like, we have a good panel of players there as well, like, that could push on, like, and get us back to them places, you know.
The last couple of years has been very difficult for everybody on the injury front, and everybody, I mean, in Donegal, with a lot of knocks, a lot of long-term injuries and that. But this year just seems a little bit more positive. Kieran Gillespie, Eamon McGee was on a couple of weeks ago, moving quite well. And, well, not on the injury front, Oran McFadden Ferry and Oran Manelis, two Gwydor men now back into the fray. So any word on Kieran Gillespie? I know it's hard to get information out of people these days, but going nicely, is that true?
You don't want to ask Declan them questions, like... No, it's great having, you know, that depth within the team as well. Like, I mean, see the way the games are lining up now, you know, you're going to need that depth. You're going to need a panel of players. Suppose the way the championships run, the way the leagues run, you know, it's important to have a panel and players that you can call on. And that's what Bose Declan has, like, you know. So, but fantastic to have lads back that we hadn't had before, like. And if you want an injury update, just give Declan a wee bell. I'm sure he'll be happy enough to tell you all about that.
This is why every time you see me and Ardra, you cross the road. And I really don't blame you. If I met a clone of me, I would probably cross the road as well. So that's okay. It's just because I'm from a nicer part of Ardra than you. Glengesh is way ahead of the point.
That's so, point,
I think that's always annoyed you, lads. Paddy, in every programme, any player that we've ever seen in the last 10 or 12 years have always said, when it comes down to the little section at the bottom, the question, hardest trainer, it's Paddy McGrath every time. Mark McHugh said on commentary that when he's with the Fermanagh underage teams, that Paddy McGrath comes up so many times, he says, because you are the person he would refer to a lot in terms of just sheer attitude. What is that? How do you think that transcends to the younger lads in the team? Because now you're one of the older boys.
Maybe all them boys are just feeling sorry for me.
And they thought,
that we mentioned there in the programme. Listen, hey, you know, it's like, always you just, I don't know, you just have to try your best every time you go out and stuff like that, Paddy. You know, training's obviously part of it, like, but, and, you know, suppose any way you can drive on the team, you know, that's probably what you want to do, like, every time you train that. And look at, hey, the underage and the younger lads now, you know, they're a different level, like, you know, especially kind of compared to the conditioning and stuff that we were when we came into the panel and stuff like that. You know, they're big physical men now, like, you know, whereas we had a lot of work to do. We had a lot of gym work to do, probably done no real gymming up until that point, you know, and strength and conditioning probably wasn't a thing back then, like, but it's changed a lot now, and there's a good structure there within the county as well, which is brilliant to see. A lot of work being put into the underage, and, you know, that, in fairness to all the people involved in that, you know, it's great to see some structures being put in place that wasn't there previous, you know.
I remember, you know, the way some shirts are really difficult to iron. We were both at the Galway BFM Sports Awards and I couldn't iron a shirt. And you, I think you spent about 35 minutes on it and it was fine, but you kept taking it back.
No, come on. That's an exaggeration.
It took you
10 minutes to gel your hair, so it did.
That's this week's prize. How long did it take Paddy McGrath to iron a shirt? No, but I think that's just, it symbolizes your own personality, and you were the same in college and that. And you know, you're such a hard worker, just not on the football pitch. And I think that is something that the young lads must really just, and I've often heard it, that they completely look up to you. So it's I still don't forgive you for crossing the street from me in Ardra, though, Paddy.
I'd never cross the street, Paddy.
You certainly would. Listen, this year's championship draw, straight knockout again, same as 2020. Your thoughts on the draw, Newry in the preliminary round against Down?
Yeah, a tough draw for us. And again, you know, we just have to get ourselves right for that game. Be a challenge that we'll look forward to. Down, very good side. They've home advantage as well, like, so we know that's not going to be easy. It's a tough side of the draw as well, like, so we enjoyed the knockout football last year, must say. You know, added that wee bit of bite to it, like, you know, where it was just all or nothing, like, so. But it is what it is, and we just have to get ready for that game, suppose, and give it our all this year now, like.
Paddy, I know how much you value the Ulster Championship, but there's no equality to Ulster. Donegal have to come through four games, and I think there's four teams now in Ulster in Division 1 this year. It's very difficult, and no fault of their own. Certain counties can waltz into the last eight, last four. How do you see that?
Well, you know, I suppose, like, the Ulster, to me anyway, the Ulster Championship is special. Like, you've got a number of teams that actually can, you know, do very well in it, like, you know, and creates that, you know, great competitiveness within it. And there's great rivalry within the Ulster Championship, and it's hard hitting, you know, tough games, like, and suppose you would never want to lose that, like, you know, it's a great competition, and you know, the medals that we've won through the years, they mean something, like, you know. I suppose if you were winning it every year, handy enough, maybe, you know, I don't know how much it would mean to you, but suppose in any Ulster Championship that we've won in the past, you know, there was always one or two games where it could have went either way, and you know, boys stepped up to the mark, and you remember them times, and you remember the training that went into that, and you remember the journeys that we went on. So it creates that special time, you know, that, you know, we'd talk about and stuff like that. And it's definitely, you know, a championship that's hard to win. And, you know, we really value it, you know, as a championship too. Like,
what about the split season coming in next year? Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, listen, I think that's going to be very good. Like, I think it's going to be good for the players coming up. Like, it's kind of a bit late for me at this stage, like, but at least, you know, the club and county thing, you know, can be difficult at times where, you know, club wants players and, you know, county wants players, and they're trying to juggle, and there's star games, and there's a whole heap of different stuff, you know, going on behind the scenes, like. But I think it'll be good, you know, to know when the county's out, when the club's out, and the seasons are what they're going to be like. And there's, you know, it'll be good, I think. I think that'll be a really good thing, so it will. But again, there'll probably be teething problems, and they'll just have to work out things and see what works best and assess it and try and improve it then as they go forward. Like, so it's like anything.
Yeah, because the county players are almost the victims in all of this, aren't they? They're treated as the players. And we had Frank McGlynn on here last year, and he said, it's a good thing if you've county players in your club, because they can bring that back to the club when they are available. But it must be very difficult, Paddy, for county players from Malinhead to Mizzenhead, because everybody looks at their own club and say, well, we don't have them. And for me, that spent a lot of time in other counties, living in other counties, it is identical in the 32 counties in Ireland, hurling and football.
It's a lot of football and stuff that they have to juggle with and try and get right. I suppose if you're a county player, you know, you're okay with commitment. And, you know, a lot of people ask me and ask us, is do you train all year round, or do you get a break at all and stuff like that? And with a split season now, I mean that you should train all year round. But sometimes, you know, those county players and that don't mind that commitment, you know, being committed to the club and being committed to the county, you know, because, you know, they're getting something out of it, like, you know. And as you say, bringing that back to the club is great, you know. So, but look, at I think the split season is going to be a great thing. And, you know, it'll be great for the club players as well, like that, you know, they'll have clarity on what the county season is going to be, you know, because they're always asking to, you know, he's playing this weekend, or what's the story, is this a star game, or... Sometimes it worked out good for us. You know, you may be playing against a club there with maybe a county man as well. Like if you're playing Glenswally and they'd Michael Murphy missing and they're missing me, I was happy enough. Like, and sometimes, you know, clubs had two and we'd only one, like, you know, so, and we weren't available that weekend. It kind of worked out good enough, but it'll be a better split, I'd say.
Yeah, no doubt. And finally, Paddy, because I think we're both going to get interrupted very, very shortly. I'm not sure how longer I'm going to last here with Peppa Pig on, okay? It's coming to the end of the episode. The National League, it's different this year. Donegal start off in Healy Park in Omagh, and of course then there's Monaghan and Armagh. Competing theories surrounding the National League and how it's going to be treated. Your thoughts on that? Do you think it'll be as competitive as other years?
Yeah, I think it is. It's probably good, you know. It's good to get games anyway. There was talk there that, you know, that the league mightn't go ahead, and there was, you know, they're just thinking what a bigger championship would be better. But I definitely think, you know, you need games before the championship just to kind of get rid of the cobwebs and stuff like that. So good that the league's going ahead. We've got tough games, which is going to be good to get. Like, you know, you need them good hard games as well. Like, so that'll hopefully help us, you know, see where we're at, and hopefully we can improve then going into the championship. So no, good that the league is what it is. I suppose with the COVID and stuff, you know, at least we'll be staying in Ulster, like, you know, we'll not be going outside of that. But tough games.
Yeah, tough games indeed. We've touched on it already, and you were this boy from Locust Point, and now you're one of the mainstays, you know, on the Donegal team. And in terms of your voice, I'm number one. There's no doubt about it. I have to say that anyway. Like, having a young family now, though, Paddy, and has just your overall just view in that of football changed in terms of responsibility, and that in terms of before maybe Donegal, the county team was number one, but that obviously transcends into family life, etc.
I suppose the beauty of it is that, you know, I'm coming to the end and I'll not be playing, you know, 10 years time, like, you know, and at least then, you know, you have something outside of football as well, like, that's, you know, more important than that. Like, so you're not going to come home someday and go, what am I going to do now? You know, you have that life outside of football. And I think that's the way to have it. Like, you know, football will always be important. You know, it has been a big part in my life, I suppose, from where I can remember. Like, you know, and it's great having, you know, Isla Rose and Gracie and Stephanie at games, and all your family members at games. You know, it's special. Like, you know, thankfully I had a chance, you know, to go up and left the Anglo Celt on two occasions with my eldest daughter, you know. So that were really special days there, you know, and we have photos of that, and, you know, the sun was splitting the rocks and the sunshine and everything, and, you know, there's photos there in the house of that. Like, so great memories, you know, and it was great having them part of that. Like, so
I promise this is the last one. I know you've spoke about 2012 many, many times, but it was on a few times over the various lockdowns. What a game you had that day, Paddy. I was in the Lower Cusick myself, wasn't working on radio at the time, and you were just in there in the corner, and we were obviously so proud of you, but you had one of your finest ever days in the green and gold on the biggest day ever in your career. How do you reflect on that?
Yeah, great looking back at them days, you know. It seems so long ago now, but yet it doesn't seem that while long ago, like, you know, the years are just racing by. But it's fantastic to have them memories. That day in particular was just a big highlight that year, you know. You know, to to win the Sam Maguire was massive, and that's hopefully what we would be chasing for this year, like, you know. So now look at it, it's good to look back, but you don't want to be looking at it too much either, like, you know. It's good to look forward and look to the future as well.
Our Draa and Donegal's Paddy McGrath in conversation with Paddy McGill on Ocean FM's Donegal GAA podcast, that latest edition online from today. And to find it, simply search for Ocean FM Ireland wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll also find it right now on oceanfm.ie. And that's brought to you with thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating each week here across the Ocean FM sport platforms. A reminder finally that The Final Whistle is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your podcasts. Simply search for Ocean FM Ireland. We're back with you next week, same time, same place.